is gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Springtime, and that means spring revival at the Pilgrim Baptist Church, 410 Solomon Street, with host pastor Reverend Tom Hamilton. Special guest revivalist will be the renowned Reverend Dr. John Montgomery.
Oh, the enemy deceived her. And he told her that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye will not surely die. And she said that the serpent beguiled her, and Adam said, the woman you gave me messed me up. And God said, no, the problem is you have both misunderstood and misrepresented.
Dr. John Montgomery Sr., pastor of the Greater King David Missionary Baptist Church of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has international TV and radio ministry heard daily locally in Florida and the Bahamas. Revival begins Wednesday, April 9th through Friday, April 11th at 7 p.m. nightly. Dr. Montgomery is a dynamic preacher, teacher that has led many to salvation and through the word has enhanced the lives of countless men and women. Come and be blessed by the preaching word of Dr. John Montgomery at the Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Tom Hamilton, 410 Solomon Street, Wednesday, April 9th through Friday, April 11th, 7 p.m. nightly. Hope to see you there.
Amen, amen. Get your Bible, stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your word, meet us in the text, tell of the truth that we're teaching, meet each and every hearer where he or she may be spiritually. Then God, illuminate our hearts and minds. Bless us that we might not only see the principles, but empower us to practice the principles. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 19 is our verse of scripture that we shall focus on this morning. We've been dealing with the palm experience from verse 12 all the way through 19 sheds light on the place of the Palm Sunday experience, the people of the Palm Sunday experience, and the purpose for the Palm Sunday experience. And today, at the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to deal with the purpose of the Palm Sunday experience. Verse 19 says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. The Pharisees the most religious sect of people said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail or profit nothing." Then they say, "Behold," focus in, see. And that word in this particular context carries and denotes the word surprise. They were actually surprised that their plan failed and God's prevailed. Behold, the world is gone after him. So when we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, and we recognize again the purpose for which he came, we talked about the place, Jerusalem. There are three reasons why I want to submit to you the place was so important. One, it was the place that God ordered and ordained Jesus Christ to come and to die for the sins of mankind. Amen. Jerusalem. Secondly, it was the place where man would be reconciled to God by way of Jesus and the cross of Calvary. But thirdly, it was from this same place that he would rule in the millennial kingdom. And so understanding Jerusalem plays a major role all through biblical antiquity because it was God's chosen place. It was known as the city of God, the city of truth. And so God made clear that Jerusalem had his heart's affection. And so it's important to understand that God himself favored this city like no other place on planet Earth. That was the place. But second were the people there. And it was important to realize that he sent his son to this particular place called Jerusalem to save a particular people that belonged to God, the Israelites, the Jews. They were God's chosen people. But the Jews rejected Jesus. In their rejection of Jesus, it opened up the door for the Greeks, for the Gentiles, for the non-Jewish people, for every race, nationality, and ethnicity who would accept Jesus as their Savior would now become their Savior and their King. It was because of the rejection again of his own people that we, you, me, were given the opportunity to be saved by this fantastic Savior that only he, in God's sight, could bring man into a right place and into a right state with him. Amen. So now we're going to focus on the purpose for which he came. You know, we've already told you that he came for sinners. And we know that because we are sinners saved by grace. He came for the Jews first and at that time only, because salvation was of the Jews according to John 4:22. But the Greeks and representing all nationalities and all races of people received him because in the 20th verse of this 12th chapter, it says the Greeks came to worship him. And so again, the door was open for whosoever will to come and to worship the Lord. And he came to redeem mankind. But let me give you more reasons, at least two more reasons, of why Jesus came. This Palm Sunday was the beginning of something very good for us here today, just as it was for those persons nearly 2,000 years ago. One, Jesus came in order that we might have a better life. Amen. Somebody say a better life. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to rob, steal, and to kill, to destroy. That was his mission, his purpose, his focus. Whenever he showed up, that was what his plan was. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Now, life here represents salvation. I came that you might have salvation. And then he says, and that, listen, that life, that salvation, more abundantly. That means super abundance. Now, when he says abundantly, he's talking about super abundance. So you've got life, but just because you're saved don't mean you have super abundance. Somebody didn't get that. Just because you are saved does not mean that you're walking in the superabundance that comes with you. Jesus said, I came that you might have salvation. You got salvation. But have you stopped at the door of salvation and have not entered in to partake and participate of all of the benefits and all of the blessings and all of the worthiness that comes with salvation? You see, salvation is more than being saved. I've shared that with you before. You've got to understand when Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He says, one, I've come that you might have salvation, and you got that. You accept me, you got that. But that's not all I came to do was to save you. If that was the case, he could have saved us and killed us then. Once you get saved and you die. Why? Because if all that is to salvation is being saved, then it ain't nothing else to live for after that. So you'll be living just to be saved. So if you get saved at 6, 7 years old, you die at 6 or 7. You get saved at 50, you die at 50. If you get saved at 25, you die at 60. But no, he had more life than that. He came that we might have a better life. Better life. Super abundant life. Now here's the problem with this. Most people think that abundance resides only in the realm of materials, education, or pleasures. They relegate their thinking to believing that abundance is reserved for these arenas. There is so much, that's the tip of the iceberg. If you settle for that, you'd still be settling for less than the best that God intends for us. And so when we begin to look at this, because this word abundance carries with it the idea or the sense of something in the sense of beyond. See, I came that you have life. I came that you might have life. I want you to have life, but that's not all I want you to have. I want you to have super abundant life, so I want you to have that beyond life. You ever ask yourself the question sometime as a Christian, is this all there is to being saved? I mean, no sense in us sitting here acting like we didn't live life to the fullest in Jesus Christ, and we've experienced all of the power, the anointing, the authority, and we're walking in that, and we see the fullness of Jesus Christ exercised in our person daily, and we walk and talk in the manner that he has given to us, and therefore we've seen all there is to see, we've done all there is to do, we know all there is to know. Don't act like I'm talking to you, boo. You ain't been that. You've not experienced that. And to the most of us, Sunday morning worship is relegated to how we feel that day. So if we feel all right that day, and the preacher feel all right that day, and the choir feel all right that day, we had a good Sunday. We got something to hold on during the week, but other than that, I mean, you know, what else is there? Some of us are not even affiliated with the things of God to be able to do the things, walk in those things, experience those things, except on a Sunday. Any of us don't even talk about Jesus on Monday or Tuesday. Many of us don't do the things of Jesus
during those things. Our lives are not filled with excitement as it relates to the things of Jesus. And so we miss it. That's why they say the church at its birth was the church at its best. Because believers, look at what they would do. They come to church, get a word from the Lord, and go back out and check it out. And when they were convinced that it was what it was, they worked it out. So listen, they come to church on Sunday and listen and hear the word. But they go out through the week and work the word. So that by the next Sunday, they come back shouting, talking about it works. We've healed the sick. We've raised some dead. We've cast out demons. They've worked the word, and the word works. And so they're excited about it. But you come to church on Sunday, get a word. Don't even check out if the word is all it is. And you never make the word work for you. You're surrounded with people who need this word. Talking about we need a word from the Lord. For what? What you gonna do with the word? You ain't gonna do nothing with the word. I just need a word. Okay, you got it. What you gonna do with it? Because if he said it, that and you believe it, that ought to settle it. You got a word from the Lord and you still worry. You got a word from the Lord and you're delivered. His word says you're delivered, but you're still acting bound. Do you know the only reason why in this word we are supposed to take it and we're supposed to eat this word and allow this word to become a part of us, engrafted in us so much that it is a part of us that we don't know where the word ends and we begins, because we are one with the word. We believe that word so much so that when we speak it, we expect to see it. I don't care what people say, the world says, God's got the last word on the word. Do you know why some of you all are still, and I'm talking about those who fight the good fight of faith, do you know why some of you are still struggling and still wrestling right now? Because you won't give up. The Lord says you're a victor, and the devil's trying to treat you like a victim, and you ain't about to give up and give out and lay down and die and let the devil win. So you got to fight, and he knocks you down. But you say, devil, it ain't over yet. It ain't over till I'm counted the victor in this situation. Wish I had a witness here. I know what the doctor said, but he said, I'm here. So excuse me if I keep on pushing and I keep on pressing and I keep on giving it all I got, because I'm acting like I'm here. I got a word from the Lord. In every situation, he speaks to us clearly, that we might have a more abundant life, a better life. Somebody say a better life. A better life. I'm looking for a better life. It's got to be better than it is today, tomorrow. It's a good day today, but I'm looking for a better one tomorrow. As a matter of fact, tomorrow is too long away. I'm gonna make it better today. Listen. It's John 10:10, and this abundance reminds us of Ephesians 3:20, which says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? If Jesus don't want a better life for you, baby, I don't know who does. He wants a better life for you more than you want for yourself. You ain't gonna ever hear him say, that's good enough. You're never gonna hear him say, it don't take all of that. You're never ever gonna hear him say, that's good enough. Because he constantly wants us to increase in a better life. Better life. Better life. And so my brothers and sisters, when we understand that, many people have the idea that abundance has to do with money and material things. Yes, that's included, but that's not limited to just that. And don't you ever limit your blessings to money and stuff. Because you got folk who don't know Jesus, don't even know a Jesus exists, got money and stuff. And got more money and stuff than you. Who are saved and filled with the... It's got an anointing all over your life. You got the word in you, around you, carried under your arm, and they're blessed all on top of you. So don't think it's just money and material things. The world can get those things. So my brothers and sisters, it's foolish for us to limit the abundance of God in our lives. And by the way, again, just because you're saved, don't think that it's an automatic part of what happens without your participation. See, just like you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to accept abundance, superabundance, as your share. I said, just as you accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to accept superabundance as your share. That's my right. That's my right to be super abundantly blessed. I don't care what area it's in. That's a part of what I have as a saved, born again believer. And so if you don't understand that you've got to claim your share, tell your neighbor, claim your share. Reverend Foster called me up one time and told me, say, listen, baby, I'm down here somewhere downtown, and I found out I had some money down here. Call them up and see if you got some in your name. I said, thank you, Sister Foster. I appreciate that. You know, sometimes deposits and all the rest of that stuff, and they accumulate it, and they can't do nothing with it because it's your share. But you got to claim your share. Now I'm just trying to help you understand that even though you're saved, you might not be experiencing the superabundance because you have not stepped up and claimed your share. I don't care nothing about people get mad with me because I have sense enough to claim my share. I ain't going downtown wasting any blah, 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 blah. Okay, boo, just trying to help you out. I got mine. You can leave yours on down there until you die, and they'll just put it somewhere else, something to do. It don't matter. I'm just trying to help you get what's yours. I want every good thing God's got for me. I'm not going to sabotage my blessings because I ain't got sense enough to claim it. Then they won't look at you like, you know, you doing something wrong because you blessed. They won't start hating on you because you look like you're blessed. You walk like you're blessed. You talk like you're blessed. You live like you're blessed. You act like you're blessed. You are blessed. And listen at this. I've discovered something. Real blessed folk don't hate on folk. The folk who hate on folk are not blessed folk. So I want to serve notice today on this Palm Sunday that if you got any haters in the building who ain't claimed their share, I've claimed my share. If you need somebody to hate, hate on me, because God's got my share fixed. Just like he's got your share fixed. Now, whether you claim it or not is on you. Sit on down. I got a couple more things I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave you alone. When we begin to look at this word and see again how the Lord wants us to have superabundance. Say superabundance. Listen, that means in terms of quantity of things as well as quality of things. Super, but he don't want you just to have a whole lot of junk. You know what? I mean, everything ought to be quantitative of quality and quantity. In other words, it ought to be representative of him. He ain't got no junk in his warehouse, in his storehouse. Anything I get from him is high quality. It's better than first class. It's the stuff of heirloom quality. You know what heirloom quality is. It means it's good enough for you, it's good enough for your children, it's good enough for your children's children. You can pass it down, it's so good. It ain't that kind of stuff that look good and you sit on it and it breaks. Y'all ought to hear me. It's good stuff. Tell somebody I want good stuff. See, I'm just trying to get your mind right, because it don't make sense for you to claim stuff and then when you get it, you don't know what to do with it because you ain't expecting that. You got to expect the best, better than you've ever had before, something that you're not used to. It's so high, it's so rich, it's so blessed that you have to say, thank you, Lord, giving him praise and glory for his goodness. You got to make nobody praise him if you get God's goodness. That stuff will make you praise him. Yeah. I wasn't feeling good, but the Lord blessed me. And before you know it, you bring it out in a dance. And you sitting there, you got a smile. You can't race off your face. You look at that hater, look at you, they frowning, but you like, you, if you only knew. Superabundance. I just can't move away from that thing. I believe that there can be some Christians who are saved sitting on these pews right here today who are truly saved. We're going to see them in heaven, but are missing the more abundant life here. They're missing the best of what God has for them here. Our focus when we become saved is not just in the hereafter, but the here and the now, as well as the hereafter. When he said, I want you to have life, salvation, and that more abundantly, super abundant, he meant right when he saved you, he wanted you to start experiencing the super abundant life. The super abundant life comes after salvation. And so because it comes after salvation, anytime you get salvation, you're qualified for super abundance. So if you've not experienced it and you've been saved,